Let's listen to Daniel and the Revelation with Brother E.C. Moore.
Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching this morning. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Acts chapter 1? I appreciate you watching every Sunday morning, and I hope it's a blessing to you. I would appreciate hearing from you, and you can say to me whatever you want to say in a letter. If you have criticism about the broadcast, I would appreciate hearing that. And whatever it might be, I'd appreciate hearing from you. We've been studying rightly dividing the word of truth, comparing things that are different and whatever. And we've come to the place that we're comparing the second coming of Christ, and we're looking at it in the light of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that in verse 7, that God has raised us up, we that are saved. He said, there was a time that we were in trespasses and sins, and He said, we were quickened together with Christ, and God hath raised us up together. And He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Reason. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, we that are being saved today are being saved by grace. And we're being saved by grace so that we will be an exhibition of God Almighty's grace. God will show unto somebody the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is raising us up through the preached word. Now, if I put on the board up here our chart as we use regularly, if I put over here and I say right here represents the time past. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, referring to those Ephesians who at one time were just Gentiles. They were uncircumcision. They were counted outside the covenants of promise. They were without hope and they're without God in the world. And we fit right in with them. And he said in time past were without Christ, without hope. But he said, but now, in verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But he said in verse 7 that he's raised us up together and made us sit together, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Time past, we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We were without hope and without God in the world. But Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came to die, and He went to Calvary. And the Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. In other words, we that are in the world out here today, back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were without hope. We were without God in the world. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So that doctrine that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not the doctrine of the church which is the body of Christ. It's the doctrine of the ministry of Jesus Christ as the minister unto Israel, and He's confirming promises made unto the Israelites in time past. And so He went to Calvary, and the Bible said that God was in Christ, and He was reconciling the world. We that are now here, we that are in the world today, we that are Gentiles that were without Christ and without hope back there, now we have the privilege of believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the Bible said, by grace you're saved through faith. So we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. We live in the time of grace. God Almighty is not in the business of judging people today. God Almighty is in the business of saving people. In Romans chapter 8, he refers to we who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Well, how can that possibly be? Because we that are in the church, and I'm going to say that this right here represents the church, which is the body of Christ. This square that I'm putting up here, this is the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, how did we get here? Well, we by faith look back to Calvary, and we realized that Jesus Christ had died for our sins. We realized that we were condemned. We realized that we were without hope and without God, that we were no good in the world. And understanding that, we look back to the cross, and we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, believing that He died for all our sins. You see, everything that we are and could be was in the future when Jesus Christ died. I have these two X's up here, and between them is everything that there ever has been or ever will be in your life. All of that was in the future when Jesus Christ died, for He died. 33. So all your sins were between those two markings there. When Jesus Christ died, the Bible said that God imputed our sins unto Him. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, your problem then today is not your sins. Your problem today is not your moral character. Your problem in the world today is unbelief. The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Why believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because He died for you. What is there about Jesus Christ that I'm to believe anyhow? I'm to believe that Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of Almighty God, was delivered up by Almighty God into the hands of wicked men, and that He was crucified in my stead. The cross was made for a criminal. Barabbas, the criminal, was, as it were, doomed to die. But because of Jesus Christ, Barabbas lived. And he lived innocently among the people. How can that be? Because Jesus Christ took the cross that had been designed for Barabbas, and Jesus Christ carried that cross out to Calvary, and His hands was nailed to that cross, His feet was nailed to that cross, and Jesus Christ died the death of a criminal out there. The Bible said that He was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus Christ hanged between thieves out there and died the death of a criminal. Why? Because we're the criminals. Our crimes are against Almighty God. You've sinned against Almighty God, and the payoff for your sin is death. But Jesus Christ, as the criminal, died in your stead. Jesus Christ was judged in your behalf. He was condemned in your behalf. And He was nailed to that cross in your behalf. And God raised Him from the dead. So we look back to the cross, and we recognize that that event took place back there, and that it took place for us, and that our sins were nailed to the cross. Therefore, God has reconciled the world unto Himself. Not saved them, but He's reconciled them. In other words, God has fixed it so that no matter how bad you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you were doing while you were there, God can save you today if you'll trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why, the Bible said that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Why, there's some of you that would probably say to me, but Brother Moore, you don't understand. I am a miserable, wretched sinner. There's no hope for me. Well, of course there's hope for you. Jesus Christ died for sinners, therefore Jesus Christ died for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 that Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. If your ways have been not like God in any respect, then Christ died for you, ungodly. Not godly in your attitude, not godly in your personal life, daily lives, and whatever. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Therefore, Jesus Christ died for you. And the Bible said in Romans chapter 5 that Jesus Christ died for enemies. Enemies of God? Absolute. the enemies of Almighty God were reconciled to God by the death of Christ at Calvary, so that now we're no longer enemies with God. That's why the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Even you can be saved right now if you'll believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you will believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary, if you will trust that Christ became your sin, he was judged in your behalf, receive him as your Savior, God Almighty can save you right now. You see, your sins are not your problem. Your moral condition is not your problem. You've been listening to too many religious tales. You see, the religion of this world tells you that if you'll get better, God will save you, but you can't get any better. Why would you need to try to get better when Jesus Christ died for sinners? Why would you need to clean up your life to get saved when Jesus Christ died for the ungodly? Why would you need to walk the aisle and pray at the altar and become friendly with God when Jesus Christ died for the enemies of Almighty God? Don't you understand? All that business about if you'll repent of your sins and come down to the front and pray through and pray to God and whatever. No, no, no. Jesus Christ did everything that needs to be done to save you. Jesus Christ went to Calvary, became your sin, became the enemy that you have been in your life, and paid for your crimes at Calvary. Salvation's free to you. God Almighty has a gift for you. It's called the gift of righteousness. It's called the gift of life. Just receive it. Isn't that amazing? Back there in the Old Testament scriptures, God Almighty required that men bring gifts to him. Over here, God Almighty is not asking you for a gift. He's not asking you for your money. He's not asking you for one single solitary thing. God Almighty is asking you to receive a gift from him. What is that? It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's the gift of righteousness. We that were ungodly sinners, enemies in our minds by wicked works, we have now been made righteous through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by believing in him as our Lord and Savior. Our faith has been put to our account for righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, we who one time were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. Well, then how about the future? The ages to come. Well, one day, the church, which is the body of Christ, which is the fullness of him, is going to be full. In other words, there aren't going to be any more members in the church, which is the body of Christ. It's going to be completed. It's going to be finished. And when that takes place, we're going up. The Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul back here. The Lord appeared back there, and the Bible tells me that he appeared bright. And when he appeared to the Lord, the message of grace came down to the Apostle Paul. Paul preached that message of grace and wrote it down. And according to the Bible, when the church with the body is completed, the Lord will appear again, and we'll go up to be with the Lord. And once that takes place, then the Antichrist will come forth, and there'll be that which we know as the tribulation, and out here will be the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are thousands of people today that deny the second coming of Christ. In fact, I've received letters from Church of Christ preachers, and they're challenging me to a debate. They want to deny that the Lord is coming again, and they want me to affirm in a debate that he is coming again. What's debate? What is there to argue about? For a Bible believer, you a Bible believer, then there's no argument about the coming of the Lord if you believe the Bible, for the Bible clearly says that he's coming again. And if you do not believe that the Lord is coming again, then you do not believe the Bible. Therefore, I classify all those who try to debate me about this, I classify them as non-believers. They don't believe their Bibles. Now, why would I make a statement like that? Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see if the Lord's coming again. He came the first time to die. He's coming again in glory. He came the first time and he rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem. He rode in on that donkey and they spit on him and they pulled out his beard. They buffed him in the face and they beat him on their back, on his back, and they hanged him on a cross. And Jesus Christ died the horrible death of a sinner. He died in our stead. But when he comes again, he's coming in power and great glory. He's coming riding on a white horse. And he's going to ride in victory and glory and power. And he's going to reign. Now look what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 1, the apostles are gathered together with him. Now notice in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? You see, Jesus Christ has never reigned over the house of Israel. Why, in Luke chapter 1, the angel came unto Mary and he said, fear not, you're going to conceive and bear a son. Call his name Jesus. He's going to be the highest. God is going to give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. He's never done that. Jesus Christ didn't reign over Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Instead, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. They said, crucify this man. We have no king but Caesar. Jesus Christ went away on exile. He isn't reigning over the house of Jacob today. Why, you that believe that Jesus Christ is reigning over Israel today must believe that he's got a crummy reign. He must be powerless in his reign. Why would I say a thing like that? All you got to do is look at the news and look what's happened in Palestine today. Why, the temple of the Lord that is going to be built someday. And they're ranting and raving over the fighting and they're killing one another. And there is no people there when he comes again. He's going to put down all rule and authority, and he's going to reign with a rod of iron, the Bible said. Why, anybody that believes he's doing that today is dangerous. If you believe that, if I were you, I wouldn't walk through the woods. You might bump into the trees. There's something wrong with people that believe that Jesus Christ is reigning today. Why, the Bible refers to Satan as the god of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air. He's deceiving people today. How can you say that Christ is reigning today? He's not reigning over the house of Jacob, but he's going to. So they said, will you restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now in verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. As Christ was going to reign at that time, why go away? Why, he'd already been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's glorified. He spent 40 days with them, teaching them pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why go off? Why not go into the middle of Jerusalem and take over the throne of his father David there? Why not reign over the house of Jacob at that time? Well, because the church, which is the fullness of him that filleth all in all, was between his first coming and his second coming, and there was prophecies in the Old Testament scripture about a period of time that's coming upon this earth. And we're going to talk about that in another class. The Antichrist is going to come and be exalted. Jesus Christ said, I came in my own name and you wouldn't receive me. He said, if another come in his own name, you'll receive him. There is one coming that's going to be received by this world. He's called the Antichrist. And this Antichrist is going to gather Israel together and they're going to bow down to him. But he's a phony Christ. But he's prophesied in the Old Testament. So Jesus, until the Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled. Therefore, the tribulation has to come. The 70th week of Daniel that you'll find in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, has to come before Christ can reign on his throne. So therefore, he instructed the apostles. He went away, and he's away on exile now. But he's going to come again, and he'll come in due season. He's going to come again. And so he said, you're to be witnesses unto me, verse 9. And when they had spoken these things while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, said, up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Bless your soul, if I didn't understand anything about it, I'd have to believe that he's coming again. Why, those angels stood there as the apostles looked up with their mouths hanging open as they watched him go up and disappear out of sight. And those angels said, why stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven is going to come again as you've seen him go. If he isn't going to come again, they lied. If Jesus Christ is not going to come again as they saw him go, the Bible is a lie. He went up from the Mount of Olives. He'll come again to the Mount of Olives. He went up with clouds. He'll come again with clouds. Exactly like the Bible says. Turn, please, to Daniel and look in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel 7, the context has to do with the tribulation and second coming. And it has to do with the judgment of the nations. It has to do with the judgment of the Antichrist. But we don't have time to read all the verses. So I want you to read with me from verse 11. Now there's a judgment in verse 10. The books are open. People are judged. Verse 11. I beheld them because of the voice of the great words, which the horn, which is in the context, verse 7 and 8. The horn is the Antichrist, the king. The horn represents a king. Already he's been till the beast destroyed and given to the burning flame. You'll find this in Revelation chapter 19. We're going to go there in just a moment. Verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. Yet their lives are prolonged for a season and a time, like right in here. Now, verse 13, the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. That's clear. Then the Lord Jesus is going to come again. And when he comes again, he's going to receive a kingdom. That kingdom is the prophesied kingdom. And he's going to reign over the house of Jacob. He's going to have full control in the earth. He's going to reign with a rod of iron. Turn, please, to Revelation chapter 19. Well, first go to Revelation 1. That'd be better. Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1... notice in verse 4, Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. If Jesus Christ is not going to come again, then, hey, John lied. He said he is. Well, if he come, then he lied. He is to come. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Come to verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Well, then Jesus Christ is coming with clouds, as in Daniel chapter 7, as in Acts chapter 1. As in Revelation chapter 1, but that isn't all. Look in Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, notice in verse 11. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And if you have a problem with his name being called the Word of God, may I suggest that you compare John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. and the Word was with God. All things were made in Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in verse 14, the Word was made flesh, and we beheld, and on and on and on. His name is called the Word of God. Verse 14, the armies which are in heaven followed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierce and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's coming again. Notice in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Think about it. By the time the Lord comes again, by his second coming over there, the devil, the god of this world, the evil prophets in this world, the phony preachers in this world will have turned people against the Lord Jesus Christ and caused them to follow the Antichrist. And they'll follow the Antichrist out to Armageddon to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again, believing they're doing the right thing. The Bible said, let no man deceive you, then don't be deceived by the phony prophets, the phony preachers. Everybody doesn't believe this Bible. Verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and on. He's coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to slay the Antichrist. There is one thing that's absolute. There is one thing that's possible, that is absolute. It's not guesswork, folks. What is that? If Jesus Christ does not come again, he didn't come the first time. As sure as Christ came and died at Calvary, as sure as he rose from the dead, he's coming again. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you don't have to be here to wait for his coming. If you'll trust him today, he'll put you in the body of Christ and you'll go out at the rapture of the church, miss the tribulation. When you receive him as your Savior right now, just trust him right where you are and God will save you. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.